Okay, this section comes from a chapter called Electricity, and every chapter of the book is divided into kind of something related to a different part of the building, because the building is, in a sense, the main character of the novel, 99 Chabanel, which is the very first Schmata needle trade building in the northern section of Montreal, the so-called new section of the needle trade of Montreal. It's a section called Electricity because each chapter is a little bit about a different aspect of the building. Electricity. Walking the corridors of 99, you could hear the rhythmic stutter of sewing machines punching single and double threads through fabric, plain stitch, and overlock, binding swatches together. Listening closely, you could hear the whir of blades as cutters slid their apparatuses through material stacked 50 or 100 plies high, along tables 60 inches wide and longer than palace banquets. Listening even more carefully, you might discern the muffled whiz of computer plotters. They flailed to and fro, furiously mapping the flattened blueprints of garments on heavy rolls of white paper, making the markers used by the cutters, who followed these patterns with their knives, then pulled the pieces apart like giant jigsaw puzzles being disassembled. The arms of sewers and cutters and plotters were all linked through their machines to 110-volt electrical outlets, thousands of them pocking the walls of 99. These outlets were joined along wires and junction boxes to 60 kVA transformers installed in each of the premises. Branched off from an intricate network of kill switches, the transformers received their power via a single humming duct carrying massive currents through the spine of the building. A musty room at the bottom of the building housed the giant hydra-headed basement transformer. This monster borrowed its strength from a 12.5 kilovolt electrical transformer perched precariously atop a utility pole 2 meters from the southeast corner of the building. If you were curious and inclined to journey farther afield, you could follow the wires from pole to pole, then underground, traversing the city beneath the St. Lawrence River and through a series of switching stations in the Quebec countryside and onward north, thousands of kilometers to the megawatt turbines, the mammoth beasts of Churchill Falls and James Bay. Chabanel Street has always been charged with unseen energy. This energy articulated a twofold law upon arrival. The longer the journey, the greater the power source, and the more powerful the source, the greater the necessity of multiple stages of transformation along the way. Gershon, who had been raised to view all of creation through the prism of law, understood this implicitly. It was not difficult for him to imagine linked forces binding the universe into an oscillating whole deriving from a single awesome source. Everything came from one bang, one flash, one utterance, one distantly produced event of power and light. And from that one occurrence of force, transformations ensued on and on until today. Gershon also understood that with every transformation, the voltage dissipated. As his yeshiva teacher used to say, with each generation, the Jews became schwach, weaker in their commitment to Torah and learning. The 110-volt minds of today didn't hold a candle to the kilovolt intellects of the past. With each subsequent generation, the light faded. First, there were the patriarchs Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who spoke directly with God. Then came the mega-voltage of Sinai, when God appeared to the Israelites in thunder and lightning, and Moses brought down the law. From then on, the power has diminished precipitously, through flawed kings David and Solomon, through the rabbinic sages, Akiva and down, Rashi and down, Maimonides and down, the Vilna Goyen and down, the Baal Shem Tov and down, the Lubavitch Rebbe and down, transformations weaker and weaker. We are the weakest generation that has lived since Sinai, the teacher would say. But he also offered some reassurance. Following us, there will be weaker, he said, until we are in such an irretrievably hopeless state of decline that only the arrival of the Messiah can bring redemption.